podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Time for us to do one of these.
Is it a hack or just doing a thing? You be the judge.
And give us a ring.
Don't call us.
No, just rhyme for the song. We don't need your help.
No, we don't. I've been getting a couple of these videos actually from people because I kind of want to declutter, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, not clean up the stuff that I have at Mum and Dad's house from when I left.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
that
just
can
your
stay there.
Living space.
My living space, right? Yeah. But then sometimes it's like, oh, what do I do? Do I, you know, I'll take it to the op shop or maybe, you know, I bring some stuff into work sometimes and just say, hey, if anyone's interested in this, have at it. Otherwise, I'm taking to the op shop.
It's like a Marie Kondo sort of, is that her name?
Yeah.
Sparking joy arrangement.
Yeah. But there's a new movement, and so what you do is that you just say you got a little trinket dish that you're like, oh, I don't really want to take it to the op shop because I don't feel like it's good enough for there, but, you know, whatever. What do? I don't want to throw it out. No one wants it. So what you do is when your friends invite you over or your parents or you go to visit your sibling's house or whatever, you take it and just secretly pop it in their house.
Oh, so you take something from your house that you don't want anymore.
Yeah.
When you go and visit someone else and just leave it at their
place.
Just
leave it there, but leave it in a place that's appropriate. So, for example, if you've got a book you want to get rid of, then go to their bookshelf and just put it in their bookshelf. And if you've got a little dish you want to get rid of, maybe it looks like a little jewelry dish, go into one of their bedrooms, just pop it on their bedside table.
Okay.
And that's how you can declutter your house. And it's kind of good because you're gifting and you're, you know... What do we think about that?
I love the idea of like dragging a soiled mattress through the front door and then just like sliding it under their mattress and then they go to bed and their bed's like higher than usual. What's going on?
Wow. So is that a hack or is that just doing a thing?
I think that's doing a terrible thing. I don't think that's a hack. I think that's doing a terrible thing.
Okay.
That's
well, don't awful. Go into your office today.
Is it a hack or just doing a thing? You be the judge.
And give us a ring.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
It's their radio show in a podcast.
Famously, whenever you go to a valet car park, which is not often.
No.
You will you'll take all the keys off and keep them.
Yes.
And you'll give the valet person just the car key.
Yes.
Because you don't want them to somehow work out where you live.
Yes.
Go all the way to Ocean Grove and break into your house with a key.
This is from my mother taught me this.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a safety thing.
So that's something that you would do at a hotel where you would
I do it at a hotel. I'll do it everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're taking my keys, I will give you my car key.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
All right, so don't try anything.
Don't take it personal, Mazda Geelong. It's not a you thing. It's a Loggy
100%.
Thing.
Yeah, I just give them the fob.
Well, they do know where you live.
No, they do.
So, what else do you do to sort of protect yourself at a hotel? Do you have other stuff that you do?
Let's just say
people can't see what I'm doing with my
pointing
hands,
pointing to your head other hotel stuff.
Is there anything else you do that you always do at a hotel?
Yeah, well, like, you know, I watch a lot of TikToks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time, peepholes. If I can't cover the peephole, sometimes I feel a bit of a way about that.
Yeah.
And also the door locking system.
Yeah.
Now look, when I'm in Melbourne, it's not that way. Yeah. But if I was international,
okay.
And I was by myself, I would be like doing, you use clothes hooks and, you know, do certain things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, man. Right.
Yeah.
So just the peephole and the lock. And that
but thing. I also have wipes and wipe everything down.
Yeah.
Because it just makes me feel better knowing that I can touch stuff, you know, put my phone down on the side table because I just always assume people have made out on everything.
Oh, yeah, true.
And I'm not into it.
Yeah, that is fair. That is fair. Now I know why you and Jimmy camp a lot.
Yeah, and do you know what? There's a whole thing with me with how I said to him the other day, I think we need to add our own bathroom into the mix.
What do you mean? Like at a hotel, bring your own toilet?
No, when we're camping.
Oh, because you don't want to use the public ones. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so let's not divert too far away from the hotels. Because a woman has left a hidden camera in her hotel room So she's,
that's my other fear.
She's gone to Thailand, right? Luxury resort in Thailand.
Yeah, yeah.
So a fancy place. But she's put a camera on her, essentially on her stuff, right?
Okay. All right. Yes.
Then the cleaners have come in and apparently they've started going through her stuff.
No.
Not stealing anything, haven't stolen anything, but one woman can be seen picking up jars of creams, sunscreens, toners and powders during the routine turndown service.
No.
She's seen smelling the guest perfumes one by one. Then started applying eyeshadow on both eyelids.
Get your finger out of my shadow.
Yeah.
Someone else's eye has been in my shadow?
Put that on a t-shirt. Get your finger out of my shadow.
Watch it take off.
Yeah. So she put the eyeshadow on and then a co-worker comes over and then she smells the perfumes and stuff as well. So the lady says, I'd booked the resort while visiting my hometown for the holidays.
Mm.
I decided to have some fun setting up a camera to film the cleaning staff. Now that's...
I don't like unsolicited filming, but I also don't like unsolicited going through my stuff.
Yeah. But I never imagined that it would make me afraid to stay at resort, she says.
Oh, man. And what do you do, right? Because in a situation like that, you know that you go to management and those people are getting fired.
Well, that's the thing, you'd think. But do you want them to be? Like,
well,
if that's what they're doing, because if they're doing it to you, they're doing it to lots of people. It's not just you.
Yeah, I know.
It's not you specific.
Oh, man.
She said, this is a terrible experience. If this hadn't happened, I would have stayed here every time I came home. I don't sleep at my family's home because I don't have a bedroom there, blah, blah, blah. I need to stay somewhere. It is unclear whether the hotel has reached out to apologise. So the feedback has been mixed as we have just, that little gamut that we just ran. Because people are like, oh, my God, awful, fire those people.
Yeah.
Launch them into the sun.
Yeah.
And then other people are like, oh, my God, you're awful, launch you into the sun. You can, like... You're just having some fun filming. It's a total invasion of their privacy.
It is, but also, mate, if you had that footage, oh, God. Thank you for that, because now there's another thing I think about. Because what I do on international travel is that when we went to my friends to Bali, like a lot of people do, I go and I always lock my bag. I don't use a hotel safe. Mm. I'll lock my suitcase with it.
With one of those tiny little locks.
With the locks, mate, before that is I the leave
pinnacle
the room.
Of security, isn't it? One of those little locks. I know as a teenage girl, I had it on my diary and no one ever read that.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
Captain's log. I'm the captain's log.
Oh, you are?
I am. But the captain's log is normally something the captain writes in, right?
Oh, okay, but in space. When you're
what do you mean in space?
William Shatner.
No, on the ocean.
Oh,
on
they
the
have ocean as well.
The ye old ocean.
Ah.
With the young Endeavour. It's a tall ship. We all know it. We all were obsessed with it when we were youths.
Yeah.
And it's coming into Geelong this weekend.
It is. And it's bringing with it people.
Yes.
Some youths.
Some youths.
But also the captain.
It's like a party bus.
Yeah.
Is my understanding, but it's a party boat.
It's the Venga boat.
Yeah.
The captain is Gavin. Gavin's on the line now. Amazing that we can't get reception in Bannockburn, but we can speak to you in the middle of the ocean. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Tom and Loggy. How are you?
We're good. Where are you?
We're currently just anchored at the northern part of King Island.
Okay.
Oh, my God. We're chatting to you on a normal phone line.
Yeah.
It is crazy. 2026 is wild. We won't say what network it is.
Okay.
We'll just steer away from that.
No.
But, look, very exciting that the Young Endeavour is coming into Geelong this weekend. How long have you been on the boat with the youths, Captain Gavin?
Okay, well, for this voyage, we embarked the youth crew down in Hobart. So they joined us on the 15th of January, and we've departed Hobart, sailed up the west coast of Tasmania, visiting Port Davey and Bathurst Harbour, and then we've come up to King Island. So we were in Grassy Harbour yesterday, and now we're at anchor in the northern part of the island today.
Mm. Captain Gavin, teenagers, traditionally turds, how many have you made walk the plank so far?
We try not to do that. We've got a great group of young Australians with us on this voyage who have been having a great time and, you know, enjoying the experience and really learning a lot about themselves.
Yeah, and shout out to Simon, who Captain Gavin is chatting on his phone, and Simon specifically said, do not drop it
in the ocean.
Captain Gavin, sea shanties seem to be a thing. I've always imagined the Young Endeavour has a bit of a shanty song situation. Is there like a karaoke night?
Once was a ship that put to sea. The name of the ship was a belly of tea.
Like, are we going to hear a bit of this stuff?
Well, what we try to do with the youth crew as part of the voyage and their command day is for them to come up with either a nautical poem or sea shanty. So, we do get to hear a few sea shanties.
Nice.
I love that.
Do you have, because you make them like climb right up to the top of the mast and all of that, bizzo, do you have people that freak right out?
Look, not everyone's comfortable with heights. Yeah. And, you know, like the top of Young Endeavour's mast is just over 30 metres. So it is quite a challenging experience to sort of climb up to the very top. And we have to do that to set our square sails. But some are comfortable, some not so comfortable.
Yeah. Okay, so new laws probably prohibit you forcing kids to go up there. Yeah. That must be really sad for you, Gavin.
Oh, no. I'm quite a relaxed captain and, maybe a little bit modern new age captain.
Yeah, so good. We love it.
You've retired the cat of nine tails.
Just recently, yes.
Just recently, yeah.
Yeah, cool. The Young Endeavour is an institution in Australia, I'm going to say, for... kids, and I've seen this advertised ever since I was a kid.
In the 90s, it was a big thing, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, it really was. Now, Captain Gavin, what ages can go on the boat? Like, if they're interested to get involved with the Young Endeavour, what ages are you grabbing?
Look, it's for 16 to 23-year-olds.
Okay.
And look, and as you say, you heard a lot about us, like, during the 90s and everything, but, like, the ship was gifted back in 1988 as our bicentennial gift, so we've been operating now for 38 years, and we're coming up to 16,000 young Australians have sailed with us.
Yeah, that's incredible. So if you were speaking to people who are interested, maybe intrigued, like, what would you say, what's your pitch, what would you say is the best thing for these kids, for these young people about the experience?
Look, I would say, you know, for them to come and join us, and our voyages are 11 days, and they will... Look, they will be challenged. They'll learn a lot about themselves. They'll learn new skills. They'll make great friends. It'll be a big adventure. And more than anything, we focus on, the enjoyment factor and having fun as well.
And do they have to bring their own rum?
No rum.
No rum allowed. Okay. Also, no sailing experience required. Is that right?
That's right. We teach all of that while they're on board. So, we focus on everything, and but sailing is one of those things, and we do, you know, impart our knowledge and teach sailing.
Now, I was going to say just quickly, one of the things I love is when, things that are set for the youths are actually open to adults and we get to have a look. That's what's happening this weekend.
Oh, cool.
The general public are going to be able to come and have a look.
Yes.
Is that true?
That's correct. So we finish the voyage on Sunday, the 25th. So we'll pull into Corio Bay and into Geelong and the Wave Attenuator to finish this voyage. So if anyone's around, they'll see the youth crew up on the yard, up the mast as we come alongside.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be open to the general public on Australia Day on the 26th from 10 o'clock through until 10 o'clock in the morning through to 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sounds like someone needs to swab the deck, am I right?
Swab the deck?
Yeah. I know things.
He doesn't at all, Captain Gavin, and we can clearly see that.
One last thing. Yeah. Sorry, if you're standing at the steering wheel, I don't think that's what it's called, but the steering wheel, and looking towards the front of the boat, what side is port?
Left.
you guys have got are all over it.
Yes.
Hey, so what's the other one? There's port.
There's port, and there's is there aft ye mate? What's aft ye matey? What is that?
That is the back of the ship.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
And yeah, sorry.
Starboard is the right hand side of the ship.
And what's the front? Just the front?
Is the bow.
Yeah, the bow.
Oh, the bow.
Aft. Bow.
Bow.
Port.
Get
starboard.
Off my aft.
Speaking of, who's the rear admiral?
He's
regretting this.
Yeah, Captain Gavin, I'm so sorry. Wishing you and all the team an amazing journey across the Bass Strait. I hear it is divine peace of the ocean. Yeah, and we can't wait to see you arriving into Geelong this Sunday with the public viewing on Monday at the Festival of Sails. Thanks so much.
No, thank you. We're really excited about coming back to Geelong with the Festival of Sails, and we just love the community there, and everyone's welcome to come and visit.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for your time, mate. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy say thanks.
Now, this time last week, things we were sort of hours away from a flash flood. Sort of Wye River, in that area,
Kennet River,
Cumberland River,
yeah.
And we all know what happened. We were really lucky that no one got sort of severely hurt, mm-hmm. and we certainly didn't lose any lives, so that was great. But it was quite shocking,
yeah.
And we've caught up with a couple of people that have experienced it or who were there at the time over this week, and we've got another one on the line now. Charmaine George joins us. Good morning, Charmaine.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Loggy.
Hi.
Now, you guys were camping at Wye River when the water came through. Is that right?
That's right. We were there. Yeah. We were one of the lucky ones. We had just read the forecast and understood that Wednesday or Thursday was going to be a rainy day. So we just waited for the rain to ease a little bit and we headed off to Lawn. So we were out of the park at the time of the flood, but our things were there.
Yeah, right. So what happened with your stuff? Is your caravan still there or do you still have it? Or
no, we were one of probably, I can't imagine how many, 10 or so vans that were able to salvage, and it wasn't too badly damaged. We'll get it checked out with insurance, of course, but we were able to get it out on the Friday.
Okay, good. That is a good news part of that story. But one of the things that is really concerning is the fact that you're with Optus, and that is concerning, but no, it's not. the fact that you couldn't get any service down there, and this is when the emergency warnings were happening, saying evacuate and go to higher ground.
Correct. And that's probably, one of the reasons we did go into Lawn was just to kind of check in with friends and family and, check emails and things like that. So we lost service with Optus, and I know really specifically because I went to pay our deposit for the next year, was on Wednesday lunchtime, the day before the floods.
Okay.
And we sometimes, expect, a bit of patchiness here and there, but not an outage of this length. So then came Thursday morning, we woke up, we still had no coverage, and we made the call to kind of go across the lawn to check out everything. And, lo and behold, we got a phone call from our friends back at Wye River saying, the campground's gone under. First I thought, oh, that's a joke. Yeah. But no, it wasn't. It was, it was quite a shock.
So then what did you do? You couldn't go straight back.
No, we stayed the night in Lawn. We've got two young kids, tried to make it a bit more of an adventure rather than something a bit scary. So we stayed the night in Lawn, and then the next day called the caravan park, and they were lovely. We even asked them if, we've got two young kids, if we bring them down, is it going to... they didn't get to see the flood, which was great. We just didn't want to scar them with the aftermath. But they assured us it was fine, and it was very eye-opening, but the kids actually took it really well. They understood that there was a flood and there's going to be some damage and the playground is underwater and the jumping castle's not there anymore. Yeah. So they saw that, but they were really good.
And so just to go back to Optus, what did they say? You've obviously contacted them and said, hey, man, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't really until I kind of like calm down from everything. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. We were down. If we were down there at the time, we would have had no warnings.
Yeah.
And there were other people in the park. I've seen like a few messages from on Facebook and here and there. No one's talking about the Optus outage. Just like if you had teenage kids and it was a rainy day, so I'd imagine they would go off with their mates and playing their campsite, and this happened so fast, there would have been no way of contacting any of your family and friends down there. We were just so lucky we weren't there, and it really, I guess, shook me up in a way that, like, that situation should never happen. And not for that extended period of time. It was like, I think, yeah, what is it, 48 hours, 72 hours of outage at the time of yeah, this disaster.
Especially checking the Vic emergency app and maybe streaming the radio, like where the national, you know, where emergency broadcaster. So you got to be aware of that. Let's move now to the grants that have been made to locals who may have been affected. You're sort of fighting for the tourists who have been affected.
Correct. And I, like, again, we are the lucky ones. I have images of people in tents walking around in backpacks after the disaster and just trying to find whatever they can. And all these people, like, with tents, they don't have caravan insurance. They're locals from Geelong, Melbourne. Like, they're not, like, international tourists with holiday insurance. This is their annual camping trip.
Yeah.
So they're not expected to have these, I guess, these holiday insurances as you would go on an overseas trip. But, yeah, I rang the hotline like a couple of days after just to find out about the packages, and I've rung a few times. The second time I rang, the lady was absolutely lovely. She was like, I can't believe I have to read this out, but it's not for holiday makers and tourists. It's only for the locals. So it's really disappointing that the media, that these images on the media of all the campgrounds being inundated with water, caravans, cars, but none of these people are entitled to any relief packages whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we've all kind of teamed up and gone to our state government members trying to get some answers from the government as to why the people who were majority affected, absolutely residents, are there with the cleanup and it's their livelihoods. But the ones who literally lost everything and needed that emergency relief package, for example, we stayed in Cumberland. Other people were without medicine, without food and clothing. They've lost everything, but then the government's not really stepping in to help those people.
Well, you mentioned the livelihood of the people there. It's also their livelihood to have tourists return and come back for their trips and use their caravans and their camping and everything down there as well, which they won't be able to do if they don't get some help.
Yeah.
Correct, correct. And they won't be able to return if they can't, get back on their feet and, head back down.
All right, so we do need to keep moving, but just before we let you go, so what have you done, who have you spoken to, and what's the feedback been?
The feedback's been pretty positive. So I've reached out to Christine Cousins and Sarah Mansfield in Geelong, and there's a few people in Melbourne who've reached out to their state members, and everyone's kind of written a letter to Vicky Ward to just try and bring this to light and make it, like, people realise that these funds that are coming from the government are not going to the people that actually need it, or the majority of people that actually need it. Definitely the residents, and there'll be some, like, residents that are affected, but the majority of the footage and the people who are affected are the ones who are low-lying ground and camping.
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, we're so glad you're safe and you were able to get your stuff out there. I know you've now taken the family to the Bellarine camping for this week, so the kids aren't scarred and they can sort of just have a nice little end to the holidays before heading back to school. So I hope you enjoy the rest of that time, mate. And, keep us posted and we'll keep an eye on it.
No worries. Thanks for what you're doing, guys. Appreciate it.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
There's a situation at my house. And if I launch into this, it's either going to be genius or it's going to be madness, complete and utter madness.
Okay.
And either way, it could change everything.
Now, you live in Lara.
We've been in this house for 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We bought in Lara.
Wow, that's gone so quick, man.
It has, hasn't it?
Damn.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, and this is a really great way to sort of segue into it, because in that 2.5 years, we've made some changes around the house.
Mm-hmm.
I finally painted my fence.
Over
the summer.
Yeah.
I've got to do another coat, but it's the colour I want it to be now. So
it is, or the colour you've just accepted?
No, it's the colour I want.
Okay, that's good.
Which is anything but undercoat.
Okay.
Anyway, so we've done some stuff. We've done little things, we painted some rooms,
yeah.
All of that type of bizzo.
You spent an hour on the show yesterday getting some artwork, which is...
Yes, that's a surprise. I want people to, who come over, be like, oh, you got some new artwork.
No, it's good.
If they know, if they've heard it on the radio, they're not going to comment
on it. No,
I know,
true.
Come on, man.
Sorry.
So anyway, one thing that I haven't done, and the more I think about it, it's something that I've never done at any of the rentals we lived at either.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's because it was a rental or if it was because, you know, it's just not the done thing.
Ooh.
When we bought the house, the bins lived in a particular spot in the backyard.
Yes.
Right? And they are around the corner from the laundry door.
Mm-hmm.
And they are on the way to the garage.
Yes.
Where the car lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and they're right near the clothesline.
Okay.
Like a couple of meters away.
Yeah.
Not enough to be gross,
yeah.
But, you know, they're in that same little space, little
okay.
walkway. So every time I walk to the garage to get in the car, I see the bins,
mm-hmm.
right? And every time I hang out the washing, I see the bins.
Yeah.
Right? And it's pretty easy to get to from the back door, so, you know, it's convenient to put the rubbish out.
Okay.
I feel like there's a better place
Ooh.
That I can keep the bins in my backyard.
Mm.
And it's more of a straight walk. It's not necessarily any closer to the back door, but it is less visible on my walk to the garage.
You want to change up the bin placement?
I want to change where the bins live at my house. Is this a thing that people do? Or is that insanity? Is that just insane?
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never heard of anyone change. It's always just like when people move in,
yeah.
It's just like that's where the bins are.
That's where the bins
no
live.
One has ever moved bins.
No one's ever moved the bins. Someone, early days, that's the spot.
Exactly. I've never even thought that you could do that. My brain just doesn't think that's an option.
Where they live at the moment, they're in front of a gate. Maybe I could start using that gate. I don't use it at the moment because that's where the bins live.
Have you, like, done some type of brain-opening exercise over your summer holidays?
Because,
I feel like you've opened a valve.
DMT.
I feel like you've opened a valve.
And other acronyms. I don't know. I'm just saying things. I haven't done anything.
No. Just,
but
what do all these things mean? We don't know. But what I do know is that this is not you. Normally, you just stick to it.
Oh,
normally, I will do anything but call you a genius.
Yeah.
But this is genius country, mate.
Yeah.
This is.
I think it could be.
Serious.
Either that or it's insanity. I just don't know. I just don't think people do that. I don't think you move into a house and then go, no, the bins don't live there. They should be over there. That's
they don't.
Much better.
You just say, oh, well, that's the way it is. And you move on with your life, even when it's annoying.
I know we don't really have time and we didn't really plan for this, but if anyone has ever moved where their bins live, please, I would love to hear from you.
How did you feel about it?
Yeah, 52232955. Did it pay off?
Mm.
Have you moved them and then gone, oh, that was the worst thing I've ever done. It's thrown everything out. Let's move them back. All right, Tony from Corio, good morning.
Morning, guys, how are we?
Yeah, good, mate. Have you ever moved where your bins live?
Yeah, so we bought a house probably about 2 years ago. About 6 months in, I went out and bought one of those fancy tilted shelters for the bins.
Ah!
When I set it up, found that it didn't fit where they originally were, so I had to move the bins.
Yep.
And it took me about 2 months to get used to it. About 8 trips that I went out to the wrong spot. It's amazing how much it messes with your mind.
Yeah, I bet.
But is it better now?
It is better now, yes. I actually can actually fit the trailer up the side of the car now without hitting the bin, so it is actually much bigger benefit.
And what about sort of your life bigger picture as a whole? Has it sort of spiraled in any way, or has it changed anything, or has it gotten better?
Well, it's gotten much better. So I now sleep on the side of the bed with the air conditioning. The other side of the bed, it's a whole change from the change of life completely.
Okay.
Were you like Tom and had some type of spiritual awakening maybe over the summer holidays that allowed you to open up your brain more?
We'll call it spiritual. It was more of a, oh, no, I didn't read the measurements on the box correctly.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, that can be spiritual as well.
All right, I'm moving them.
Tom and Loggy, that was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.